Hold your horses. Google doesn't have to allow competing app stores on Android yet. Plus, Bandai Namco isn't exactly laying people off, but... Tonight is October 20th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it.
Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say?
And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Now. There's no fighting. No fighting in spooky season. Chat. No fighting. Only hype. No fighting. We're not going to fight here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a no fighting edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, welcome. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here for about an hour. No, there is no fighting, pod culture. There is no fighting. No fighting. Pod culture. Even though pod culture was actually not the one fighting. No fighting. So if you want to be in a no fighting zone, come join us on Sunday nights over the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel. And I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And you may be, if you're not fighting and you're talking about games, you might get things read up on the air. But I do understand we are a podcast feed, and so you can join us on our Discord server during the week, vognetwork.com/Discord, to suggest things that you want us to talk about, especially on like slow news weeks like this, where I'm like, okay, well, do I want to talk about it? Not really. I don't know. This was actually like last week there were like a bunch of things I want to talk about, and like this week there's like one, and so who knows? Who knows what's gonna happen? So yeah. So welcome to the show. We are also even going to talk about social networks because some fun stuff happened in social networks that affects some certain parts of the gaming community and might affect you too. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I first do want to give a little bit of an update to something I talked about just last week here on the show. So I had mentioned last week that I had made a new gaming purchase. And I had made this purchase to help out someone else in need. They were unfortunately having to get rid of a big portion of their gaming collection to help pay for things. And he was selling something that I really wanted at some point, and along with a lot of games that I really wanted. And I'm like, sure, here you go. And it was a Philips CD-i, and I actually went through it last week. I went through the games that were in there, some of which were repros, some of which were authentic. And he told me ahead of time which ones were authentic and which ones were either confirmed repro or most likely a reproduction. So he sent it over, and I was like, cool. So I got it, and I unboxed a lot of the stuff on the air last week during this show, but I didn't actually plug it in. Now, he had told me the only thing wrong with this is the disc tray had a piece broken off of it, but I sent it to you. It's a real easy fix. And he did, and I have the part right here. It's the front part of the tray, but like it didn't you know hinder anything. You kind of had to help the tray out. You had to help the tray out, and because it doesn't come out all the way, and it was because like this piece in the tray was broken. So I was like, okay, cool. Where I should have done is been like, hey, before you send it to me, can you send me a video of you opening and closing the tray? So I know exactly what to do. And I since I didn't do that, I was like, okay, well, the tray's half out. Let me kind of, you know, help it out a little bit. And then, here's the tray. Here's the tray. It came right out. Here's another piece of the tray that came right out. It's actually in, you know, multiple pieces now out, and you can't get it back in because it's completely broken. This is not how the tray is supposed to look. So for those that are on the podcast feed and can't see, the actual tray, like the left side of the tray that's supposed to go in the grooves is still there, but it is broken off at the very end. The plastic this is all plastic. It's just broken off at the very end. And then there's another piece that I believe is supposed to be like the top part of what the disc sits on. It's supposed to be basically kind of a flush with the top, but it's been broken off. There's a piece in here that probably should, there's some grooves. And so, yeah. So I'm sure the drive works fine. I'm sure the laser works fine. I just need a new plastic tray. And there are no, we've looked, because the seller has also been kind of looking for things and stuff. And it's not the seller's fault. It's just, and because it was packed very well, nothing was damaged on the outside. Everything works. It boot up immediately. Everything was still working on the inside. Even the clock on the inside was still working because I know he had gotten that replaced. And it just, you know, when you're traveling cross country from between Washington and Georgia, which is a very long trek, things happen. And, you know, there was no way to really secure the inside like that. So you can't 3D print, or well, you probably could 3D print it. It's just nobody's made this yet. And nobody's made this tray yet, because a lot of times it's the drive that fails and not necessarily the tray. So, you know, the options are I get another drive. So if you know, this is a CDI 220, by the way, is the actual model number. So there's multiple models of the CDI. This one's a 220. And if like even if the drive doesn't work, you're actually supposed to take the tray out before removing the drive anyway. So the tray is supposed to go in and out, but it's also supposed to have things on both sides. So it goes in, you know, so it's supposed to be, it's not supposed to be just attached by one side here. So unfortunately, fifth dream asks if I've tried replacing it with the cup holder is broken. Like, that's the problem. It can't hold a cup anymore. The piece that held the cup broke off. This is where the cup holder is supposed to be. Yeah, and as Jared Matt says, the tray was already compromised, so it sounded like a little jostle did it. Yes, I think that's what it was. Like, this was not going to really survive a cross-country trek. So, really, the key is to either get a different tray from a drive that's maybe busted but has a good tray, but apparently these trays are pretty brittle, or find somebody who has done a 3D print of this tray. Which, in order to do it correctly, you need a tray that is good to make the model from. And if you've got that, why not just use the tray? So unfortunately, have I played the CDI? No. Have I turned it on? Yes. In fact, you can even kind of see in the picture that I've got here, you can actually see the retro tink. Because I actually had it set up to stream. Like, I was like, hey, I was like actually testing things out and seeing, and then I might have like hopped online and streamed it. So I was ready to stream, and it wasn't in the cards. And then as Jeremy Matt says, no, you can't glue it back together. No, you really don't want to use Gorilla Glue on this. That's not something. It's a plastic. It's flimsy plastic. A 3D printed replacement would work. It's just we need to get an actual 3D printed replacement for it. Yeah, there's ways. It's not a devastating problem. It's just an annoying problem because there aren't that many of these out there. The Breakman says, we badly need video game repair companies. So many old systems need love. I mean, they're out there, and there's probably even some locally. It's really trying to find the right ones that'll be able to work on it. There are also electronics repair shops as well that work on some vintage electronics, and they'll replace things like belts and things like that if you're not really able to get to it yourself, because like replacing a belt for something like to open the drive, that's the thing that actually mostly happens here, is the belt wears out. The belt's fine. It just has nothing to move in and out. There are places that will do that, and you know, kind of look at some of these old technologies to be able to do that. Zenmonk 11 says, this reminds me of when I got was a kid and got my first telescope for Christmas. I was too excited to read the one-page directions, and I ended up sticking the lens in backwards and couldn't be removed after that. It was stuck in there. Yeah, and Esther Jerome Matt says, this device gets hot easily and can reheat the glue and make it tacky, which you don't want near a disc. No, there's no gluing. I think somebody had mentioned, like, just use Gorilla Glue on it. No, you really don't want that. And also, the Breakman says, I haven't been able to find any locally, but it's been a while since I looked. A lot of places will let you ship things in because, you know, there are companies that will be like, yeah, send us your stuff and we'll fix it and send it back. And that's always an option as well. But luckily, I live in Atlanta. There's got to be somebody that can at least, you know, I've got somebody that's willing to fix all my Commodore 64s that's local. I should be able to find somebody that can, you know, look at a CDI and repair a disk tray on the CDI. And Zenmonk 11 says, can you do this? Glue the tray back together and use that to make a 3D print of it. The problem is, I have a feeling this is not, I don't have the entire tray. There's supposed to be something on the other side. So I only have the left side. I'm pretty sure there's a right side, and I don't have that. I think that's already gone. I don't think I have the full tray. The piece that I have that was separate is actually in the front. It's actually for the front of the tray. Is the piece that had broken off and he just sent it back to me. It's actually for the front. I don't have the other side of the tray. This piece just snapped right back on. All right. I'm just going to need somebody else to look at it. I can take it apart myself, but I'm not going to be able to do too much with it. But the good news is these trays were designed to be removed. Because if you do take apart a CDI, and I looked at some videos, you are actually supposed to remove the drive out the front before unhooking the drive from inside. So these are supposed to come out and go right back in. It's supposed to be a very easy process. You just need to have a tray that's good to be able to do it. Yeah, and Questbrush says, if worse comes to worse, you could look for a non-working CDI for cheap on eBay or similar and cannibalize it. Hoping the tray is still intact. The funny thing is, a lot of them are like, yeah, this, you know, the drive and the tray don't work. And that's the most of the ones that you see, because those are the most common point of failures. Tackle asks, are the trays the same as other drives? Seems like a part that is standard on all CD drives. They're all different. They all go in differently. They all have their own little mechanisms. They're all different. So, no, it's not standard. You can't use a CDI 110 drive in a CDI 220. Or you can't use that tray in that drive. No. Yeah, it's just, you, no. They were smart enough to make you use proprietary software. And the Breakman says, there's no such thing as standard in the computer industry. There's also no such thing as standard in homemaking as well, in home building. I have a friend who I tease incessantly because he used to work at Home Depot, and I would always ask him, you know, when we were like looking for like new doors, and he was like, what size is your door? I'm like, oh, it's a standard size door. And he wanted to punch me every single time because there's no such thing as a standard size door. You may think that there is a standard door. There is not a standard size door. Every house is different. I even have like different in this house. I have different size doorways for different size doors. I can't just say I have a standard door. No, that's not how it works. As much as you would like to think it is. Let's move on and talk about something else. I know that social media can be really bad, and it's gotten worse over time. But a very interesting thing happened this week, and I do kind of want to welcome people that are probably watching this because of this new place, or if you are finally going over there. And there has been a huge exodus of, especially in the speedrunning scene where I'm kind of tangentially a part of, I'm adjacent to all that, from Twitter over to Blue Sky. So Twitter enacted some new policies. They've changed their terms of service a little bit. AI, you can't now you can't stop AI from learning from your tweets and spouting them back out to people. Right now, as of today, you can turn that off. You can stop them, but they're changed their terms of service. So starting in November, you can no longer you opt in by just being there. And then there were some other things that they have done. So a lot of people have started moving over to Blue Sky, and I've been on Blue Sky for a while now. And it's not invite only, but this is another. It's a social media platform that it does have the ability to be somewhat decentralized, like Mastodon, except. This is where a lot of the artists and creators have gone to, whereas a lot of IT and computer professionals went over to a Mastodon instance, which Mastodon also made it more complicated than it needed to be. But Blue Sky also has a lot of great content moderation that can be done by the community that you can opt into. They've got a lot of labeling services that you can opt into and see. So it only affects you if you really want to see it. They do actually have some great ways to make things make it so you can hide things that are not safe for work. And there are a lot of people that actually tag their stuff as that. So it gets picked up by that. So you don't have to see it if you don't want to at the time. There's also a better blocking mechanism where if you block someone on the platform, if they've, you know, responded to you and you've had a conversation, if you block them, it actually removes the entire conversation. So nobody can see it anymore. It's not just, you know, so it's gone. People don't like that. People who like to, you know, rile other people up really don't like Blue Sky, and they wind up leaving. So it's been a nice little place. And there is so there's a lot of neat features that are on there. Not every feature that you're looking for is on there. It's still it's an open source platform. So if you're a software developer, you can go in and help them put in some of those features that you want. But there are certain things that you can do in there that actually will broaden who you speak with and your horizons and not have to see a lot of the BS that you might find on other platforms. So if you are interested in going over to Blue Sky and you're looking at where to start, there are actually starter packs. So you can actually go to the VOG network page over there, which is, by the way, it is listed as vognetwork.com. And I'm going to actually put it up here on the screen. And so we are actually verified with at vognetwork.com. I am at bobbyblackwolf.com, but I have created a Voice of Geeks Network starter pack, which these are people in the community as well as hosts that are on the shows here, as people that you can follow. And there's also another killer app is the feeds. So I have a couple feeds that I've created. One is there's a DragonCon feed, and what this does is it actually searches the network for various references to DragonCon, and you can actually see what people have said about DragonCon in the last 7 days. And there are thousands of these feeds. These are like custom algorithms. So there might be a custom algorithm for something that you're looking for. You may want to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles post, and there might be an algorithm for that. There is an algorithm of just cat pics, if you just want to see cat pics. There's also different feeds for, like, I want to see everybody that I follow, but I don't want to see all their reposts, because there's one person who continually reposts Pokemon art over and over and over and over again. So you can actually look at all your feeds without all the Pokemon art that is being reposted by one singular person over and over and over again. And you can see what other things are doing. And so it's basically just what people are posting and not really what they're just reposting. And then there's another one that's on there that I like. It's called Followers. And it's like an Uno reverse card. So, like, let's say you don't follow back everybody that you that have followed you. You could look at that feed, and it'll actually show you all the posts of the people you don't follow back. And you might be like, you know what? I might actually want to follow that person. And so you will meet new people just by using that feed. So I think that feeds are the killer feature of Blue Sky. I've actually made three. I've even made some sports ball ones because I really need some sports ball feeds. And so I can talk about that and see what other people are saying. Those are kind of empty. But there are various other feeds, and you can search for them, and I can even help make some feeds. If you want to make a feed for something, I can show you how to do it. It's out of the scope of this podcast. But I am really excited about Blue Sky, and that's probably going to be the social media where you're going to see me the most, especially now that there's been a huge influx of people on it. And you know, even if all you do is repost Pokemon art over and over and over and over again, I'd still be glad to be around and with you. Rob Robert says, FYI, you don't need that only post feed. It's built into Blue Sky settings now, and it wasn't always. But it could be useful if you want to go back and forth without it, you know. And I do. Like, sometimes I want to see the reposts, and then I go over there to see, okay, was there anything I missed? Because, like, people repost some interesting things. I'm not totally against reposts. I like to see what people say, too. And quote posts are there now. You can actually remove yourself from a quote post. That's kind of the interesting thing. So if somebody tries to quote post you to dunk on you, you can be like, no, 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 I don't want my post attached to this. And then it just removes the post. And so they can't dunk on you as easily. So, yeah. So Blue Sky, you don't need an invite anymore. Find the VOG Network pack, the starter pack. If you've joined and you're really part of the community and stuff, you'd know who you are. Let me know. I can add you to the pack. Fit Dream says, it's funny, since the recent exodus, I got quite a few followers of people that I've been following forever. Yep. It's been a lot of people created an account and then didn't come back for 8 months, and now they're back. So, like, even like Loki is starting to post, so you can see some of the Minecraft stuff over there. So a lot of people are joining up now and are taking, you know, more notice of it. There was one person I did hear, and this is one of the things that I like about it. Is they're like, well, you know, it's not going to take off until the brands are coming over, and we need the brands on there, and they're just not on there. And I'm like, actually, it's kind of nice not having the brands. And like, Jimmy Fallon tried to join Blue Sky and got bullied off the platform in like a day. It was quite spectacular. And the reason he was bullied off of Blue Sky, to give the context, because you might hear that and you'd be like, why did they do that? It was during the writer's strike, and he joined Blue Sky like the day after it came out that he stopped paying the rest of his crew or something for the writer's strike and stuff. Like, he was the first person to do that, so they all like dogpiled on him, and he never posted again. So yeah, there's not that many brands on there. They don't have ads right now. They do have a financing plan, and it is actually posted up on Blue Sky if that's something you're interested in, what their long-term financial plan is. Hopefully it stays kind of as the nice little place it is now. It's not going to, but for right now, in October of 2024, it's great. And if you're worried about Jack Dorsey, who was one of the people that was kind of the founders of Blue Sky, because you might not like Jack Dorsey or like what Jack Dorsey has done, Jack Dorsey quit Blue Sky in a huff quite a while ago. He is no longer on the board. He no longer has an account. He did not like the direction that Blue Sky was going to make it good. He didn't want it to be good in the way that we wanted it to be good. He wanted it to be more like Twitter. And so he left in a huff because he didn't feel respected enough. Yeah, and Rob Roberts says, it's not so much brands I want to see on Blue Sky, but I wouldn't mind seeing a few celebs. And what I would like to see on there is, you know, there are, like, Digital Eclipse is on Blue Sky, and Digital Eclipse has been on Blue Sky for a while. So, you know, some more, and I've seen that some more PR firms for games that I used to work with a long time ago when I worked with PR firms, they're on Blue Sky, and they're trying to, you know, tap that audience because they can get their message out better because it's a message that people want to hear. And, but I think that we need to get sports, some type of sports stuff going on there. Right now it's just, you know, people talking, fans talking, but not really any of the sports stuff going on, like from, and really like sports journalists. And we really need journalists to be on there. The media is not really talking about Blue Sky, which the reason to stay on, for the reason that people give to stay on the old sites, especially the old site that we should all be leaving, is because that's where all the journalists are. And that's where all the personalities are, the sports personalities, the media personalities. That's where they all are. And so I don't have the answer for that. I'm just a little video game podcaster. But a lot more video game people and a lot more people part of the community, which is really the best part of the gaming industry, is really the community of gamers that have come around to do things in the gaming and to do things with the games. But there's always been a good indie game component to Blue Sky because there's a game dev feed that you can, and a lot of indie games do a lot of stuff on Blue Sky. And now you can have video on Blue Sky up to a minute. Like, it's not much, but you can have video on Blue Sky. You can have GIFs on Blue Sky. It's in its infancy, and it kind of feels like Twitter did in like 2008 when we're like, why would we want to post on Twitter and just like post like, I'm going to have lunch? Like, we're in that phase now. There is still a lot of talk about social media. So it's still, and you're still going to have people talk about the old site, which is fine. Just let them do it for a little bit, and then then it'll, you know, kind of normalize and start talking about games and stuff like that. As Jeremy Matt says, I don't have an answer other than the industry sports is afraid of change. And ZenMonkey 11 says, in the era of TikTok, 1 minute video ain't bad. And no, I mean, I agree. It's also 50 megs is the limit, is the size limit. That's the one that kills some people because they'll have like a minute video, but it's long, it's bigger than 50 megs. But like Blue Sky doesn't have the hosting for all that stuff. And Rob Roberts says, you can have sports and I can have Drag Race and Survivor, and I'm good with that. I, you know what? Yes. Let's do it. Let's bring all of them. All of them over. And Tiger Claw says, I'm happy that Blue Sky added the hashtags. It didn't before. Yeah, so they've got a good hashtag system as well. Feeds is kind of what I used instead of the hashtags because you can search for the hashtag stuff, but you can also search for other words. For instance, like the one I did for, I'm sorry, sports, but I did one for Georgia football, UGA football, because I'm a grad, Georgia grad. But in that feed, I look for like Georgia football and Georgia Bulldogs, but I also look for like Sanford Stadium, the name of the stadium. I look for Redcoat Band, which is the name of the marching band, because, you know, I'm going to throw that in there. Of course I am, because I was there for 5 years. And so you can search for things other than just a hashtag, and it's kind of like you're building your own algorithm. It's really, there's some really powerful things that you can do with it, and it's not that difficult to do. Let's talk about the news real quick. It was a slow news week, so I'm kind of glad that I was able to, fill some time before getting to the not much news this week. But anyway, The Verge reports that Google just netted a small but key victory in its epic legal battle. Last week, the company asked Judge James Donato to press pause on his November 1st deadline to drastically alter its Android App Store rules. Today, he did just that. Epic and Google confirmed to The Verge, granting Google a temporary administrative stay on all but one but specific piece of his ruling. That means Google may not have had to open up its Play Store for years, if at all, while it appeals the verdict. In December, a jury unanimously decided that Google's Android App Store, the Play Store, had an illegal monopoly, though Google is now appealing the jury verdict as well as the court's order. So last week we talked about how Google was told they had to open up their app store, the Play Store, to competitors and allow competing app stores to be on the Play Store, and not to give like scare warnings like, oh my God, you're gonna destroy your phone by adding this app store, and then also that app store could sell things that did not go through the 30% cut that Google demands. And this was basically Epic wanted to be able to sell Fortnite stuff without paying 30% of everything to Google. They also have a lawsuit against Apple, so they don't want to pay 30% to Apple for every little cosmetic that you buy in Fortnite. So that's where this came from. And Microsoft even already said, hey, you know, we're going to be able to sell you Xbox games on cloud gaming starting in November. You're going to be able to buy those games, and you're going to buy it all on your Android device starting in November. Well, no, not anymore. So press pause on all that app development. Technically, today's temporary administrative stay only pushes back the clock a little bit, long enough for the appeals court to weigh in on a longer stay, but Judge Donato reportedly told the courtroom he suspects the Ninth Circuit will grant that longer stay too, which could genuinely let Google off the hook until it gets through appeal. The judge declined to give Google a longer stay himself. However, Judge Donato did not press pause on one specific part of his ruling, one that could open a crack for rival app stores, according to court documents. Starting on November 1st, 2024, and continuing until November 1st, 2027, Google is ordered not to make deals with carriers or device makers that block pre-installation of rival app stores in exchange for money, revenue share or perks. So you could theoretically buy a Microsoft-branded Android device that has the Play Store and the Xbox Store that circumvents the Play Store, I believe. So you can still do that, but they're not required to make it easy for someone to install that Microsoft Store on their, let's say, Google Pixel device. Had Judge Donato left the original deadline in place, his order would have let developers stop using Google Play's billing as soon as November 1st. Google also would have been barred from using certain financial incentives to keep developers loyal to the store. Plus, it would have kicked off an 8-month countdown to Google carrying third-party app marketplaces inside its own Play Store. Originally, Judge Donato gave Google less than a month to begin cracking open its App Store, and Google argued it should get the same 90 days that Apple got to make App Store changes. Google also argued that Epic, which filed both the Apple and Google lawsuits, didn't object to a 90-day timeline. With Judge Donato's original deadline lifted, Google is at least briefly off the hook and has potentially started down the same path that Apple took that let it delay removing its anti-steering App Store rules for over 2 years. If not for the stay, Judge Donato's ruling would have had almost immediate effect for consumers, not just developers. Microsoft said it would start letting people buy and play games in the Xbox Android app, for instance, and Epic said it's bringing the Epic Game Store to Google Play next year. Unless the Ninth Circuit denies the stay, it could be years before those things happen. So the cliff notes of what I had said last week is that this is great in the right scenario. This is great for Epic, and it's great for consumers of Epic's products. This would be great for consumers of Xbox products. Where this will get hairy is not because of Epic. Like, let's say that this goes into place. The problem is not going to be Epic, and it's not going to be Microsoft. But they can't just limit these other app stores to just Microsoft and to just Epic. It can be anybody. And not everybody cares about security. And it would be very simple for a bad actor, a malicious person, to create an app store that has their own apps that you can buy that have all this malware in them. Which, if you submit to the Play Store, it checks for that stuff. They do, a rudimentary review of your code to see if there's any malware in it. Well, if you have a competing app store, you don't have to do that anymore. And Google is not allowed. Part of the original ruling was that Google is not allowed to do any quote-unquote scare tactics to say that you're doing something that's unauthorized and may harm your phone. Because Epic is not going to harm your phone. I am 99.99999% sure that Epic does not want to harm your phone. And same with Microsoft. So that scare tactic scares people away from something legitimate like an Epic store or an Xbox store. But it may be absolutely necessary for some small group you've never heard of that's offering some amazing things to people that are not as tech savvy. And in those cases, yeah, it probably would be good to warn the consumer that may not be as tech savvy as anybody that's watching this or listening to this podcast. They might need that, hey, you might be doing something that's going to jeopardize the security. Are you sure? But legally, under the original judge's order, they're not allowed to do that. They're supposed to host it on the Play Store and let you download it and let you install it and let you do anything you want in it without them checking. And that's scary for a lot of people. So it's great for Epic and Xbox because I know Epic and Xbox aren't out to steal your data and they're not out to ruin your phone and place trackers and all that stuff on your phone and steal things on your phone. But another person can use the exact same loophole to get their stuff in there. Have no oversight from Google. Nobody's being the watchdog, and they can offer something to make it sound too good to be true. And hey, it is too good to be true, but people will fall for it. The Bregman says Epic has only one evil goal: make as much profit as possible. That's every company: make as much profit as possible. That's every company. It's capitalism. Giving their customers a virus would do too much damage to the bottom line. I mean, yes, like, you know, that's... But yes, it's the goal of every company is to make as much profit as possible. I'm sorry. That's just the goal of every company. The family-owned restaurant down the street from your house, you want to know what their goal is to make as much profit as they can. Now, they may have morals that kind of limit how much profit they're willing to, that they're able to make, and they may be fine with that, but the goal is still to make as much profit as possible. Every company is. So the other news story that I'll talk about before our break is about Bandai Namco, and this is kind of interesting. It's Video Games Chronicle reports that Bandai Namco is reportedly reducing its workforce and has canceled several titles, including games featuring the One Piece and Naruto licenses, as well as a contract project with Nintendo. According to Bloomberg, citing sources familiar with the matter, the company is taking a traditionally Japanese approach to reducing staff and sending workers to rooms where they are given nothing to do, putting pressure on them to leave voluntarily. Bandai Namco Studios has reportedly moved 200 workers to such rooms, leading to almost 100 resignations. A representative of Bandai Namco told Bloomberg, quote, "Our decisions to discontinue games are based on comprehensive assessments of the situation. Some employees may need to wait a certain amount of time before they are assigned to their next project, but we do move forward with assignments as new projects emerge. There is no organization like an Obadashibaya at Bandai Namco Studios designed to pressure people to leave voluntarily," unquote. So, Oyadashibaya is a practice used by Japanese corporations to isolate employees by giving them no tasks in an effort to get them to leave of their own volition rather than be let go and receive severance. So, it's one of those, like, well, they're doing this, but it's not really the traditional Japanese thing that I'm positive I mispronounced, and I'm going to get somebody really upset at me for mispronouncing it. But that is kind of the practice that has been traditionally done at some Japanese companies, because Japanese business culture doesn't do as much layoffs. Like, that's a very Western concept. And they just do things in other ways where, you know, maybe you just, you know, you're miserable, but you still have a paycheck. Bandai Namco's latest release, Dragon Ball Sparkling Zero, has seen strong initial sales. The game, developed by Spike Chunsoft, surpassed a total of 3 million units sold worldwide in 24 hours after its launch, according to the publisher. So they're selling some stuff, and, you know, so they've got money and they've got cash on hand, which is why they can probably keep them in the room doing nothing, or have them in the office doing nothing. Which, honestly, they should be having them do, like, game jam type stuff. Like, you know, come up with something. You know, maybe we'll get the next great Katamari Damacy out of that. You know, like, make something, and we'll see if we want to turn it into a full game. I mean, I think Dodonko Wonko, which I did a speedrun commentary for another marathon a couple weeks ago, which is a free game from Bandai Namco on Steam where you're playing as a little Pomeranian, basically playing the prequel to Power Wash Simulator by getting mud and paint and everything all over this new house. I think that was like one of these little like game jam type games that was done in the office. Maybe, you know, these 200 employees, or I guess 100 now, should be doing stuff like that. And you never know, that might become a full game. So I don't think they're going to be doing nothing, but they're just not going to have any kind of billable work to do that goes toward an actual product. And if they're making that much money, they can actually pay those people to sit in the room and maybe just do side things, and they don't have to lay them off. But they probably looked and said, nobody's going to buy a One Piece game. The Breakman says, I don't remember the last time I wasn't busy at work, but I still find time to slack off. Well, as long as it's for your mental health. We are going to take a very quick music break because I apparently need water and I apparently need some stuff like that. So we're going to take a very quick music break and then come back and talk to Rob and see what's going on over there. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
I totally forgot to set a bumper for after the music. So I'm like, oh God, I got to put one in. Like, I realized like 20 seconds left. So I chose that one because obviously I want to see all your art reposts of Pokemon because they choose me. Hello, everybody. Yeah, so if you want to leave a leave a bumper, I haven't gotten one since that. So, but you can just send me an MP3 of just your voice saying that coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, I will choose which DMCA violation to choose to put underneath it, or you can send me a video with just your voice, and I will choose the DMCA violation behind that about coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. This is an audio podcast, so the audio is what's going to get heard by everybody, but. There can be a video element for those that are live here on Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel. I'm going to check the green room. I don't think anybody is in there because we haven't taken actual calls on the show for a while. But coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them, even though it's a little earlier than I usually do. But hey, it's a slow news week, so we like checking with them if it's a slow news week for them as well. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So there wasn't that much this week. Like, it was hard for me to fill two slots.
Yeah, it's a little slower. We have a few things. Yeah. You know, like Microsoft did like a mini update, but even on their own terms, it was like a mini. Update event for October, and we have some other headlines, but it was definitely a little slower than the last couple of weeks for sure. So we kind of coast into now the part of the year where games are releasing as opposed to getting the game news,
right?
And who knows, maybe all these Nintendo Switch successor rumors were scaring PR companies off of releasing things potentially the same day. It really could be anything.
Yeah, and the only thing in that Microsoft one that I saw that I really cared about was obviously the Like a Dragon Gaiden story. And the interesting thing was that it didn't get delayed. It actually got brought up a week because they're really scared of Monster Hunter.
Oh, boy.
And they didn't want to release on the same day as Monster Hunter, so they bumped it up a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's kind of the nice thing about them is that they're confident enough that it'll be ready on the 21st of February instead of the 28th of February. And so they
Monster Hunter's huge in Japan.
Yes.
Huge. So yeah, it's a valid thing to be afraid of.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I watched that, and then I didn't really get to see all that much stuff other than, you know, crying over my broken CDI I was, you know.
That's a bummer. I hope 3D printing can save the day.
Either that or just
at some point.
Or, you know, somebody that has a disk tray or a drive that the laser doesn't work, but the disk tray works. I just need the disk tray. I don't need the laser. So I didn't get to play any of my CDI stuff. So I was just playing some Metaphor ReFantazio. That's all I was playing.
Building the anticipation.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
Sure.
Because I stopped playing Diablo 4. I played it for a little bit, and then I know the new expansion is out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that also like a new is the new season now too? Like, since I never finished my last season, am I kind of like should I start over at this point? You know, what should I be doing?
Usually I tell people to just start new characters with the seasons because there usually is some sort of twist or new content that you can experience. If you are really the type of person that gets frustrated at losing progress on a character, you can always go over to the Eternal Realm, which is, you know, it's the non-seasonal part. There's no like Battle Pass-esque type of stuff in the Eternal Realm, which actually might be a benefit for some people. And that's totally valid. They tend to put like one or two features from each season in the game permanently once the season's over. Mm-hmm. Not everything will be there. Like, you won't necessarily have the NPCs that have the same rewards and stuff, but they tend to have things. Like, maybe there'll be some of the gear will stick around, or in this case, what they call the Infernal Horde runs from the last season, the very last season of the original expansion, is now like a permanent part of the game and something that you can unlock later on in the game and do Infernal runs. You don't do them as frequently as you did last season, but it's still there. So it is nice that, like, you're not like locked out from like ever experiencing some of the things. And that, but some things are gone, but they're the things that should stay gone. Like the trap dungeons from the season 3, which were terrible. They got rid of those permanently, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I played it a lot, and I was liking the build I was making. I was following the site that you had said and stuff, and then it's just like shiny. And I went somewhere else. And like I think I finished Act 1, or maybe I was close to finishing Act 1 in the main story. Like, that's as far as I got. But
well, now there's only 7 acts when you count the expansion, so that's how much further you have to go, I hate to say.
Well,
but it is a good story. I really like the story, for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, I didn't mind it. It wasn't from a lack of desire. It was just like something shiny happened. I don't remember exactly what, and I don't remember the timing of it, and it's just I moved on to other things, and it didn't hold my attention as much as something else would.
I get it.
You know, if it was Diablo Like a Dragon, maybe I'd still be, you know, talking about it every single day, and it'd be like, oh, that's all I played this week. That's it. Just that.
Yeah, even I haven't hit Diablo 4 as hard because I've been on this retro gaming kick thing lately now. I would say the thing that fell by the wayside for me is Final Fantasy 14. I haven't logged into that game in weeks, actually. Yeah. There's really a lull in that game right now, but I think a content patch is going live. It's either this week or next week, and that'll be exciting because we get some legit like new content in 14, and that'll be good because I kind of need a reason to go back because I was sick of running the same 3 dungeons over and over. I don't do a lot else in the end game, so...
Yeah, I never finished. I dropped Rebirth. I mean, talking Final Fantasy. I dropped Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And what sucks is where I dropped it, I just didn't feel like going back. I'm like literally in the middle of a dungeon with characters that I don't normally use. So it's like actually harder to go back in because like I'm actually like in this, like in the middle of this story dungeon. And like I think I'm about to like face a boss. And so I'm like going to have to relearn how to play on a boss fight.
Oh, yeah. You know?
I'm That's like, rough. Dang it. So I stopped, and then I put down 16, and in kind of like, but not in a story dungeon, but I did put down 16, and it's not just from a lack of liking it, it's just something else happened and came in, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get back to it, which is a shame, because Ben Starr is
so
great.
So many games, so little time.
And I want to hear more Ben Starr. I want to hear more Ben Starr. And, you know, so it's right there.
Well, you could check out the Hades 2.
That's right.
Early access, because apparently he voices a character in that now, which I picked up Hades 2 when it first was in early access, but I have not played it really since. I kind of completed that first little zone. So I need to pick it up and try again, to be honest.
Yeah. And then there's the Expedition 33, which looks interesting. I don't think that was part. Yeah, that wasn't part of the latest Xbox thing.
But it is
multi-platform.
Separate, but
And there was like a story trailer that came out recently, a cast reveal trailer, and like everybody's in it, and Ben Starr's in it. But there's a lot of people. I think Jennifer English from who also was in Baldur's Gate 3 is in Expedition 33.
Ooh,
so yeah, they've got a lot of big names in it. But it's a turn-based. Like Super Mario RPG turn-based battle system, so it's like it's a turn-based, but you also have the, you know, if you hit the button at the right time, it's a better attack and things like that.
That was Lost Odyssey.
Lost Odyssey was that.
Was Blue Dragon? No, Lost Odyssey came after Blue Dragon anyway. But I think Blue Dragon had a similar thing too. I think the little you like hit the R button when the hand hit or something, and it would do extra damage.
Yeah, Fifth Dream says, "I'm so happy turn-based battles are in again." Yes, I am too, because like there's a lot you can do with that format, and it seems like Final Fantasy kind of was like, no. Now that we can do action, let's do action. And we're kind of saying, no, some of those old things that were a limitation because of the limitation of the hardware, same with point-and-click adventures. The reason point-and-click adventures were huge in the early 90s because you couldn't do fast action. And then a lot of those companies were like, well, now that we can actually do action, players want action. They don't want these point-and-click adventure games. And then decades later, it's like now we're doing point-and-click adventure games with the current graphical capabilities of today. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing, especially Expedition 33 looks like a huge, you know, great action game. Like the graphics are of that vein, but then it goes into a turn-based battle system.
And that's what a lot of people have been asking for Final Fantasy. So I really hope the game is good, because if it's good, you know, and kind of lives up to its all-star cast, then, you know, we should really support this game and show the industry that this is what we want more of. But I don't want to say that without coupling it with, but the game does have to be of a quality game. You know, I don't want to support a game just because it's in the genre. You know, if it's sloppy or buggy or exploitative or any of those things, then it's going to be much harder to say that. But I'm hoping they really are delivering, and maybe, you know, Jennifer English makes me think Baldur's Gate 3, a nice little all-in-one package that's really well-rounded for $70, goes an awful long way in this community. So let's hope maybe they learned something there.
Yeah.
We will see.
And I will say, you know, I have played a little more of Metaphor for Refantasio past the demo. I am really enjoying it. That's another turn-based game, kind of in the vein of like the Shin Megami Tensei series, with some of the Persona stuff in it. But that's your Atlus turn-based, you know, anime game. And it turns out I like Atlus turn-based anime games. It's just that's one of my things, I guess.
Nothing wrong with that.
And Questbuster says Honkai Star Rail surprised everyone when it was revealed to be a turn-based game after HoYoverse did Genshin Impact, but it's been nothing but a huge success since. I actually didn't know it was a turn-based.
I've seen a couple of people stream it, but yeah. I don't know, for some reason I just haven't been. I think maybe the whole gacha kind of element of it, I'm just kind of like
I played Genshin Impact until there was a stealth section, and anybody who's played Genshin Impact knows where that is.
I
got to that point. I'm like, this is cool, okay, now sneak through this cathedral at night. All right, I am no longer cool. I no longer care. All right, we're done. And I'm, it was about 10 hours in, so I got 10 hours in, didn't spend a dime. I got in and then, you know, stealth. Just
I'm okay with stealth if it's like, you know, the penalty is now you have to fight the guard, but you fight the guard, you off the guard, and now you don't have to worry about the stealth anymore. I'm okay with stealth when it's like it's not that hard to power through.
Yeah. And Dark Sakura does say that's literally the only stealth part and you never have to do another one. But it's unfortunately it's one of those if you get seen, you get sent all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, no, I'm good. I have experienced Genshin Impact, and I'm now good. So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Oh, well, some other fun things in the news besides Xbox we were talking about. Unity has a brand new version of their engine that was released this week, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's see. Unfortunately, some more layoffs in the gaming industry, this time at Riot Games. So we do have to talk a little bit about that. And ooh, for retro gaming fans, pretty interesting little Nintendo 64 update console. Because, you know, and I'm sure you know this, Bobby, but as certain technology gets to be a certain age, the patents for it are not quite what they were in the beginning. And people can kind of make their own versions of the hardware, which is what we're seeing happen with the Nintendo 64 at this point. Pretty exciting stuff on that front. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that and much more. It is a slower news week, but we've got a nice slow dribble of news to talk about tonight.
And I will say, kind of related to the Unity announcement, somebody made a post on Blue Sky, a lot of things I like there. But one of the ones they said is, by the way, if you look at Unity's leadership team a year ago when they made all those announcements and you look at their leadership team today, only one person that's kind of on the lower end of leadership team is the same person. They have totally like revamped the entire leadership team, not just John Ricciatello, who is the CEO, but also like everybody else. There's only one holdover from the old leadership team.
Worth highlighting and underscoring, you know, we talk a lot about that senior leaderships ought to be the one to, you know, pay the price sometimes as opposed to the people on the front lines. It seems like, based on what you're saying, that may have been what happened at Unity. So perhaps, you know, again, everybody has to make their own decision what's best for them, but perhaps it's worth giving Unity another shot. I don't make games, so it doesn't really matter for me. Although I've been curious about some of the non-gaming applications of these things. So never say never. Never say never.
Yeah, no, I've used Unity for work projects before because it's the easiest way to do VR stuff. I have done Unity in the past, and I did greatly enjoy the workflow of it. So it's a lot easier, seems, to pick up than Unreal Engine from my side. Anyway, Orange Sounds Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I am not on Blue Sky's payroll. I want more. I need more friends. I need friends. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So come join us and interact with the show directly. You can also find me on social media at BobbyBlackWolf.com on Blue Sky. You can also find at VogNetwork.com over on Blue Sky. Find the starter pack. So you can just click one button and follow all of us that are in the community and start growing your network over there. Maybe they'll send me money, but I don't. They should spend that money making better features and not paying some podcaster on Twitch, to be perfectly honest. Like, instead of paying me, give me the ability to turn off a single user's reposts instead of everybody's reposts. So I don't have to see Pokemon art over and over again. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell it to me. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. You being here is really all that we ask for, but we love it when people go above and beyond and here on Twitch. And it looks like we had a hype train. So thank you so much for the people who resubscribed. Mike Deft resubscribed for the 70th month, saying we're getting closer to 6 years. Yes, it was like December 2018, when we joined Twitch. We got off of Shoutcast and got on Twitch. Fifth Dream resubscribed, saying so many months. SJR Matt cheered 250 bits. Thank you so much for that. That got the hype train kicked off. Orange Light Right resubscribed. Thank you so much. Rob Roberts sent in 200 bits, tossing in the rest of my biddies to get the hype train emote. Thank you so much. Sean322 resubscribed. Thank you so much. Saying woo 23 for the 23rd time. Been around here for longer than that. Twitch math is weird. Sean322 also cheered 100 bits, saying whoop. And Orange Wright cheered 100 bits. And Dark Sakura was just like, oh, Google, and paid us 200 bits to say that. Thank you so much for that. We did get the hype train in. Thank you so much for that support. It helps us keep the lights on. We're not here to try to make... We are not a company trying to maximize our profit. We just want to, like, you know, pay for the business license so we can, you know, do things here. And if somebody takes a problem with it, they take a problem with the business and not my house. Anyway, that is it. I'm going to try to hit the button here and move things around. So the bump... Is this the button that plays the music? I hear the music. I hear the music. There it is. All right. I will see you all next week. And I'm going to go play some more Metaphor ReFantazio after OLR tonight. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.